approve these?
Move approval.
Second.
Is there any discussion or questions or comments about these?
I had some questions.
All right.
You say at the first page, beginning is that you have type action and it's initial appointment, reappointment, transition, retirement, blah, blah, blah. Then after that, they all become fiscal year salary increases. Now, if they were all fiscal year salary increases, it seems like they should all be the amount because everybody got a set amount this year, was my understanding. But they all have the same type action. I know some of them are results of reorganizations. It doesn't indicate that. Some of them are, in fact, decreases, and it says it's an increase. And I just don't understand why it's worded as such. And also why some are so large when, I mean, I realize some are reorganized, but some of them are not the set $500. Some of them are, and I don't understand. I mean, I don't know what's, what's
Tony, come on up.
All the possible actions, personal actions. Yeah. Dealing with visual appointments, and then reappointments and so forth. And then the two marks is faculty and staff.
Right.
Right.
Faculty
approach. Right. So there's some logic. Initial appointment, you'll see on the very first page there, but we only have two.
Right.
Or faculty. At a rehire, that's in reappointment.
Mm-hmm.
What we call transitional retirees, so those people that go to retire.
Right.
We had people we changed on page two, status changes. First, you have to have those in the faculty that turn over to the department heads. I went back to flash this example. I probably called it the very first person there.
Well, okay. Just, starting with page three, when they all say fiscal year salary increases. Okay. I mean, just going down, I thought everybody was getting a lump sum salary increase.
Okay. This includes faculty who were promoted, the promotions that you approved back at the April meeting. Those salaries associated with their promotion is all effective July 1.
Right, but then that should be indicated promotion instead of just increase. And what part of my point is that we're asking to vote on information, and the information we're given is not reflective of what's happening. And I don't see how we can.
Let me give you a systematic response to that. In our information system, we can have one entry per day. Fiscal year salary increase is always the overriding information system entry for a July 1 action. So there could be multiple things possibly happening within the same effective date, which is July 1. The president has asked us to try to get everything, for example, with position changes and reclassifications effective July 1 or January 1. But if that person also gets a fiscal year salary increase, that is the overriding classification for that contraction.
Right. The program, I'm not trying to be difficult on this, but what I'm saying is if we give information that's been voted on and the information doesn't make sense, then I don't see how we can vote on it. And this is the job. But go to page four.
Faculty, because you've already approved their promotions, and so sure. They're now just getting their adjustments.
But you go to page four, about halfway down, if somebody goes from $75,000 to $67,000, and it's still called a salary increase.
Arbuckle. Change in duties, I presume. Page four.
Assistant professor.
Arbuckle had an extra month in his Owensboro assignment, and that went away as we have a director in Owensboro, so he's back to 9-month contract.
Yeah. But then, technically, then we need to go through and find out. I'm not trying to be difficult, but it's just... No, if you have to go back and explain them all, there's no point in
it. Well, and perhaps one way to, I know what the $6,000 jumps are because I pay really close attention to the tenure and promotion list, but it might be useful maybe when the tenure and promotion list to come out to at least submit to the board an addendum to say this will be reflected in the personnel actions at your third quarterly meeting. That will, at least to have some kind of blanket statement that would answer those questions, at least on faculty side, different issues on staff side. But just a clarifying statement, I think, might really be all that's needed to explain 98% of these.
Yeah. This really doesn't make sense.
But this is a little bit different format than before. You heard Ann describe kind of changing in methodology back when we approved the budget. We traditionally have submitted the fiscal year salary increases at that time. This is actually more timely, more accurate than what we've done traditionally. And I would say that this doesn't include everything that will have a July 1st effective date, because we ran this report at 11:15 on July 3rd. Everything that was in the system as of 11:15 on July 3rd is reflected here from our information system. And so there will be things, obviously, that will have a retroactive date, if you will, for some period of time that will be caught in your subsequent report. But this is a system-generated report.
We'll look and work with IT and look at what the restrictions that software can provide on this. Versus the usefulness of what you receive. So we'll look at that the complex process, and what we were trying to do is to ensure that it wasn't labor intensive, especially since we eliminated one position in HR. But so I see some limitations of just saying what the system is and is what you get.
Well, the current and the proposed columns are correct. Is
yes.
that right?
That's correct. It's the last column called type action that is.
But the money is what's important. Yes.
Why they were getting the money.
That's another issue.
And Forrest, you are correct. I spent a lot of time the last 60 days on a range of actions, mostly on the staff side, some on the administrative side. Reclassifications, promotions, change of duties with our budget cut actions, just a whole range of variables. And Tony, I don't know now, but I'm going to guess 50 to 60 actions that were above the $500, and maybe it's even over 100 that were above the $500, but some were significantly above, probably 50 or 60, that most were eventually approved, not all, and some went back, and I asked to have the fund source changed because I was uncomfortable with the funding source, where a department might be eating up operating funds in order to give somebody more money, and then they're going to come right back next year and say, well, I need more operating support. You know, you deal with that when you cannibalize one thing in order to achieve another objective. And ultimately, anytime there's a promotion that would go above what is funded in the budget, then when a faculty staff salary increase the following year and the year after that and the year after that come into effect, then the university has to absorb the cost of that larger salary for somebody, even though that department may be covering it initially. It ultimately comes back to the university in future salary increases. I think the important thing for the board is that the number that you approved in the budget for the $500 increase was that number remained consistent in paying for that range of salary increases. Anything different from that was borne by the departmental budget, and a conscious action on the part of that department to raise an employee's salary above and beyond the $500. That had to be the responsibility of the department, and that's what I had to study and ensure, and also ensure that I could accept the funding source within that department in order to make that happen. The total picture. And it's as Jim suggested a while ago, we're a community of nearly 22,000 people and over 2,100 employees. And in any given year, there are things that occur within that workforce. And it's my job to make sure that the total picture is reasonable and valid, because people compare and people take notes and. Well, so-and-so got so-and-so, and I, you know, that's a reality of a complex workforce. So you're right, and this format may not be the best way to present, again, going back to a conversation we've had in this through the course of this meeting, we've got to find that right balance, and we could have more columns in here that indicate causes or why actions were taken. Again, complexity and administrative efficiency and how we gather data and report data, particularly in light of, as Ann mentioned, we have fewer employees in HR than we had before the budget cut. Fewer positions, I would say. Well, fewer employees, but fewer positions. So administrative operations suffer when you clearly articulate your priorities as an institution are the learning process for students. And administrative operations suffer most when you go into a budget reduction context. And these are the results. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation between what you're getting here, but in the final analysis, there is some correlation in terms of both efficiency and capacity in the absence of, or in the best use of available funds, in this case, tuition dollars, and you approved the special tuition dollars. So that's just the best response I can give you on the short notice with your valid observations.
No, just to be clear, I went over this with a fine-tooth comb on the faculty side. I didn't see a single person who got anything other than $500 who was not promoted from rank and file to department head, or who did not get an assistant to associate promotion or an associate to full promotion, or one person who got a promotion from instructor to assistant.
The compression actions have not yet been taken. Again, you just authorized that a matter of weeks ago, so I presume that would be on something you would see October or January.
And I guess I would say, we have kind of looked at this as an improvement, actually, from the past. Maybe we didn't reach our objective, but it's much more timely and much more reflective, I think, of reality. And perhaps, again, we've got some work just to maybe evolve or repair it. Now, the other thing we're doing, and I've just discussed here with Patty and Pamela, is that each quarter we're going to place this on our webpage for full disclosure to whoever has a WKU account. We've never done that before. That's a positive way to share the information for those who are interested in wishing to review. So I think your board faculty is a good one, and probably the major one in all this change in England.
On behalf of the staff side, when I hear about departments that are trying to give extra raises to their employees, I mean, I have to applaud that. We have, like I said numerous times, they're taking on additional responsibilities. You yourself gave promotions and additional responsibilities, and you gave substantial raises to go with those.
Right.
So I'm assuming that the departments, even though they don't get the support from the university, are trying, even though it has to take money from their spending, to try and adequately compensate the employees that they have and the staff that they have.
Yeah, and that's why almost all were approved. But I've got to scrutinize and understand why things are taking place, because if there's an issue that comes out of any given action or the cumulative effect of actions, it's going to get back to my desk. So there is pretty close scrutiny, much to the consternation of Tony and his staff sometimes, on going back and getting data that I asked for to support actions. You know, you're exactly right. That's why most were approved. A few funding sources was changed, and I only think I turned back a couple out of hundreds.
Jonathan, do you have something you wanted to...
Well, Mike, I had a question. Just according to the WKU News, there was a hire of a director of teacher services and school relations. And did that contract, I guess, start after July 3, or was there a reason it wasn't involved in this packet?
It'd be a new position.
July 1. Okay. I looked under curriculum instruction teacher services. I didn't see one.
I apologize, Pamela. I didn't know that you...
No, that's okay. Just one clarification, and I think, again, sorry, Tony. It looks like that Dr. Tice was transferred from his old position to his new position at the exact same salary. Maybe he was paid that through August 31st, and it will change on September 1st?
That's correct.
Okay, because looking at this, it says his old salary and his new salary would be exactly the same, and that was a little...
Well, I see next report is his salary with a salary change, so that will be the next transaction post July 1st.
Well, you are correct. When that action was taken, it was with severance, if you will, through the end of August.
Am I clear? Does a new salary, does that include some kind of vehicle allowance or something?
Yes, Regina does with the commute to Owensboro.
How is that being funded?
Part of the budget for his operation. A lease of the vehicle.
Where would that, if I was looking for that on the budget, where would I find that?
It will be paid out of the Owensboro operating budget. It's through the Kansas operating budget. Money will be transferred from a central contingency.
Okay, so if I was looking for our budget, then it would come out of central contingency. I was looking for
right now. We'll make a decision in the next operating budget if we make it a permanent allocation to the Owensboro budget or whether we continue allocating it on a one-time basis. Right now, with expense, it will show up as an Owensboro dedicated expense, but we will transfer sufficient budget to the lease payment.
Do we pay insurance on that, or is there? I was worried about liability. Is there any liability on the university's part if I don't know who pays the insurance, but.
Yes. The university does have to carry the insurance on that.
Okay.
As they would any other vehicle lease, and we have lots of vehicle leases.
But also, if you weren't providing him a vehicle, you'd have to be giving him a travel allowance. He has to report back to you. And
we're a whole lot better paying that lease than we are paying mileage at 49 cents a mile.
I thought you weren't allowed to pay mileage if their base assignment was that site.
Yeah. It's got to be his lease. It has to be considered income to him, does it not?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay,
oh, sure.
You're doing that. But it's his choice not to move, so no. It's not.
True. Like no, it's absolute part of his income.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we have a motion that we to approve the personnel action, or we need a motion.
We
have the motion and the second, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Call for the question? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the same sign. All right, thank you. We have next order of business is resolutions honoring retiring faculty. You'll find those on page 71 of and 72, 73 of our board packet. Motion to approve the resolution is in order.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Dr. Ransell has with us to pass out to each board member progress being made
on my goals.
On his goals.
The goals that the board approved for me as I've tried to do in over the years. Just a mid-year status report of the goals outlined for me in my evaluation process, so whatever.
I would encourage you to review them and also keep them in a folder, because when the time is appropriate for us to see how have we done, what's happened with obtaining the goals that we have set forward, you'll need this document. So let's keep that, review it, and then keep it somewhere in a folder where you can access that at the appropriate time. Dr. Ransell, I think that's
I really have no further report, although again, because I would like for it reflected in the official minutes, I do want to commend Clem and Yvette for being named the Taylor County Finest Family Farm last year. I say that because any of you who get professional recognition, when Jim gets recognized by General Motors, we ought to recognize it, and on and on and on. And that's something that is a great personal achievement in their community, but also in this emerging profession of farming in the Haskins family.
You see, I do hard work.
But if you didn't, it's a great start. It's a great start.
Thank you.
October 10 is our next round of committee meetings, and I would encourage you to plan on being here for the day and evening. That is also the date of our 2008 President's Circle Gala. which will be a little bit different format. It'll be the Pride of the History Department this year as we celebrate the bicentennial of our 16th President, Abraham Lincoln, and a special exhibit that will open with our President's Circle members that evening in the Kentucky Museum. And so the gala will be in and around the Kentucky Museum that evening of the 10th, but our committee meetings will be that day. Basically my report was yesterday with our what I consider to be very important conversations with sufficient detail in the areas we covered yesterday. And Liz, if you'd make sure that Larry gets the copies of the handouts that were circulated yesterday with our half a day spent on some very important matters, particularly relevance to you and what you do, the summary of our bond status particularly. So yesterday was my report.
All right. They do have lunch for us. So there is a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Yes, a move. All right. And all in favor may exit.